Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
So a big welcome to today's Project Love podcast. Today we're going to be talking about how to handle New Year overwhelm, because we've both had experiences of this over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And when we put it out to Instagram, we realised that we weren't alone in feeling like this. And so we'll start off the podcast by talking about our experiences of it, and then we'll share with you what some of the community have shared with us as well, and then we'll get into some practical steps that you can take to help you to manage that New Year overwhelm that we all seem to be having. So, Selina, tell us about yours. What's been happening?
Oh my God, my overwhelm was huge this year, far bigger than I think in other years. That said, I always say, and you will have heard me on previous podcasts, say that January is always a tumultuous month for me, because I always set an intention. And so when you set an intention, the first thing that comes up are all the ways that you can see that not happening in your life. And also, you suddenly step into that gap between where you are now and where you want to get to.
Yeah.
And so that's when the shitty committee comes storming in and being like, you'll never do this, look at you, look at how you're failing, da da da. But because I set an intention this year which had such challenge to it, so I don't know if I've shared my intention actually, and no, I won't have shared it yet on a podcast. So my intention, very similar to yours, Vicky, is about stepping fully into my power in 2019. Woo. Which I was so excited by. It came to me, I was by the sea, I was on the beach, and I was like, yes, this is my year of stepping fully into my power. And so the first thing that happened was, I was like, there, and I was in Aruba, so it was a sea I was going to get into. So I was like striding into the sea, like, you know, powerfully stepping, you know, no sort of holding back into the slightly cold sea. Stormed in, first thing that happened is I missed my footing and face-palmed into the sea. And I was like, oh, so this is how it's going to begin. And so that actually is what has been happening. I've been sabotaging myself. I've been pointing out all the ways that I'm not stepping in my power. My shitty committee has been, the volume's been fully turned up. And even the first time I saw Vicky on our day of stepping into my power and in work capacity, I got trapped in my own coat, couldn't undo the zipper.
And I
got
had stuck. To unzip Selina.
You literally had to untrap me from my big intention. So the overwhelm has been massive. And I've been going through a process of finding the support that I need, having a word with myself, putting in some strategies and some tools that, you know, we've used before to help with overwhelm, which have really helped. So I'm now happy to say that I'm feeling in a really good place, but that overwhelm, I've also used it to help highlight areas that I need to attend to, in that basic foundation of well-being before jumping into the bigger stuff and the dreams and the plans and the ambition. It's like, hold on a second, before we get into that, let's just see how are the basics getting on. So we'll be talking a bit about that, but I've been feeling it. What's really, I think, really important as well, and what's really valuable in addressing for those of us that are feeling the overwhelm, is that this won't just happen in the new year. This will happen any time you decide, I'm going to make a change in my life. I'm going to make a positive change. It always comes with this overwhelm. We pile on too much pressure, the fear of the unknown. And also recognising that, and Fern Cotton said this, I was listening to it yesterday in her brilliant Happy Place podcast, about how any change, even positive change in your life, comes with loss and trauma to a certain degree, even the best kinds of changes, and recognizing that's so important. So if you were to go, oh no, I don't like this overwhelm, you know what the problem is, setting an intention or having goals or having an ambition for my year or my life, that's what needs to go, that would be the worst thing to do, because actually it's kind of having a look and seeing, well, what else do I need to put in place, and in particular, where in my self-care do I need to be giving some attention? Because it's always the self-care that is missing when you get into a place of overwhelm. But we'll get into that, How about you? And your overwhelm, what colour and shape did it take for you?
So it started to creep in December because I wasn't sure what to commit to for the year, what my focus would be. So I was filling out my journal and I got to the bit where it was to commit. Yeah. To, got commitment anxiety, basically.
What if I choose the wrong one?
And it was, you know, the choose your focus bit. So I'd put my goodbye hello to one side and thought, oh, I'll just let this, you know, sink in and just ponder on a few ideas that I'd had. But I could already feel this decision anxiety of, you know, not wanting to choose the wrong thing. And that's a few other people had said that actually when they shared on the Instagram stories post, you know, how do I know that I'm choosing the wrong thing? And it's a whole year and suddenly this pressure.
Yes.
To choose, to commit to the right thing. And how do you know that it's the right thing? And is this the thing that I should focus on the most? Or is it something else that I need to be directing my attention? You know, I need to be directing my attention towards that. And so there's that decision anxiety going on. But then it was as soon as I had decided, so my 2019 intention is to step into my CEO, which is all about stepping into my CEO mindset and strengthening my business skills and becoming more commercially minded and really taking Project Love to the mainstream.
Which is great.
Yeah.
More perfect one.
We're both so aligned with our business intentions, which is amazing. And to also to thrive. And what that means to me is to create the right conditions for me to thrive. So as you're talking there about well-being and self-care, like that's my main focus really in this first quarter of the year, is to really develop those habits that will then support me on an ongoing basis, you know, will help me to then step into that, you know, into that CEO mindset and behaving differently. And it will really support that intention. But it's as important as the intention.
That's it. I mean, that is the big kind of reminder for me when I hit overwhelm and coming out of it was the reminder of, before you go jumping into the big stuff, you need to make sure you've got that foundation of self-care really sorted. And if there's any part that's missing, and for me, so interestingly, was my home. So I've always lived in chaos. I've never known any different. And I've always like really kind of defended that and been like, it's creative people are chaotic, they're messy, that's just how we are, you can't change me. And then I started watching, as you know, Marie Kondo on Netflix. Every episode made me cry. It triggered me on so many levels. I was like, I haven't got time for this as well. I'm already stepping into my power. I don't need to also be thinking about tidying my house. But I realised as I was, and my mum also got me the Marie Kondo book for Christmas, yet another attempt to try and bring order into my chaotic life. And I realised actually on reflection, you know what? I do need to attend to that first, because the other areas of well-being I'm really good at now. Like, you know, and they tick, 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 kind of doing a bit of an inventory in my head of my areas of well-being, the way I speak to myself, asking for help, looking after myself physically. I could probably do some more exercise. So I did go for a run last week, which helped mentally as well. Journaling, you know, all these things, food. But home, I was like, stepping onto mess is not aligned with me stepping into my power. And when I think of someone who's really fully in her power or his power, they don't have doors, cupboards that you open that are just piles of mess. You don't know where anything is. So actually I thought, no, I need to attend to that first. And in our Designer Life You Love in 2019 workshop, which you can still buy over on thegoodbyehellojournal.com, we actually look at that at the beginning of that workshop. We go, right, even if you're ready for the dream and you're ready to go, let's first go back to basics and attend to that foundation, that well-being. Because until you've got that groundedness and that well-being sorted out and that self-care, it's going to be hard to make things happen and create that dream, because it's hard to do that when you're coming from a place of survival.
Totally.
Which is why focusing on thriving and making that your first quarter is like the best recipe for success. Mm-hmm. And I'd forgotten that. So I was just like, I was getting all my, getting a necklace that said Queen from Kemi Telford, which is also amazing, and a t-shirt that said Queen to remind me of stepping into my power, completely overwhelmed me because of the panic that now who I had to be worthy of wearing that necklace and putting that t-shirt on, even talking about it now fills me with anxiety because I'm like, Now I have to be a different person to step into my power. And that is all shitty committee, perfectionism, piling pressure on, comparison, all of the bad stuff that doesn't make you happy.
Yeah.
And actually, that's not what stepping into your power means, but that's what so much of me and my mindset obviously thinks it is.
There was something that you said to me, because we were talking about it, I think it was probably Jan 7th when we had our day, when you got stuck in your jacket, and we had our first day back at work together, and you said something that really calmed me as well. This is a 12-month project.
Yeah.
And when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, I'd forgotten that it wasn't like, oh, now I've stepped into January, I need to be my CEO, and what does she
exactly
think, and what's her mindset, and what decisions and choices is she making? But I'm not there yet. It's literally a few days into January. It's okay, take the pressure off yourself, relax. You have 12 months to feel like you can fully step into this. And imagine this time next year, you know, reflecting back on 2019, having really mastered this. But knowing that it's not an overnight thing.
Yeah, and you're at the beginning.
Yeah.
Of a
literally
learning.
A week in.
Yeah, you're literally a week in and expecting yourself to be at where you want to be in 12 months.
Yeah.
And also, don't put an expectation of where you should be in 12 months either.
Mm.
Always think about how you want to be feeling. Yes. So rather than what you should be doing or what results you should have got as a result of that. You can definitely have specific goals to play for, but if you're setting an intention or a focus for your year, and we have talked about this before, but make sure that that isn't too specific. So it's more about what your approach is going to be, what feeling you want to be cultivating more of, what experience you want to be cultivating more of. I think if you're feeling the pressure of having to be, you know, new year, new you, which is a very unhelpful term.
I know.
You won't catch us talking about that. Or, you know, even living your best life, which, you know, a lot of people use that term, and if it works for you, then great. But that also can come with that feeling of expectation and that pressure to be perfect and to be different to who you are. So I think that, you know, even if you do have big goals and dreams for change or making things happen in 2019, your intention could still be self-care. So for years, for the past, I'd say about 4 years, well, I've had goals and ambitions and dreams that we've been making happen, particularly in our business, but also my personal life. My intention has always been around self-care. This is the first year where I've got an intention that's also teaming up with those goals and ambitions for making things happen. Because I needed to not have that pressure. I was going through a lot of life change. Becoming a parent being one of them, being in a relationship for the first time in 10 years being another, you know, and buying a home and all these things. So I needed my intention to be bringing me back to self-care, which I wasn't very good at. Now I feel like I'm better at that. I can have that intention that brings more pressure, but it also means that I have to keep bringing myself back to self-care. Let's take a look at some of the things people were saying in response to the Instagram story that we put up in preparation for this podcast. So, thank you for those of you that responded, because there were so many great answers. So here's a great one. Feeling like I'm behind everyone else my age without a relationship. It's a really interesting one. So that's comparing yourself and where you should be with outside achievements.
Yeah.
Rather than thinking about, well, how do you want to be feeling? What do you want to be experiencing? And really, quite a few people talked about that decision paradox of having too much choice. So I could do anything I want this year, so much freedom. So why am I stressed out by this?
Oh, yeah.
When my biggest times of freedom, stepping into huge chapters of freedom, were times when my anxiety was at its highest, because now how are you supposed to choose?
Yeah.
There's a lot of that, so it's great hearing about how you had that as well, of not knowing what to choose. But how did you then decide what it was going to be?
So I took the pressure off myself, first off, and journaled about it, and just digged into a few ideas that I'd had around what I wanted to make as my 2019 intention. So explored it through journaling, and then just talked it through with friends. So I talked it through with you, and I talked it through another friend, and just started to process it. Like, what is it that I'm really craving this year? What would be the most fulfilling thing for me to focus on? And then very quickly I realised that that is the right thing for me to focus on, stepping into my CEO and creating the right conditions for me to thrive. That felt like a very supportive... It's a challenging intention in terms of the stepping into my CEO, but also a supportive intention of helping me to find the right conditions for me to thrive and focusing on well-being, etc. And so then I was happy with that. I let it sink in, and just taking my time as well, like not rushing into the idea of having this big plan, you know, for the year, and approaching it as a 12-month project, as you wisely said, that those words really, really helped me as well. So I think it's just, I found just talking it through and processing it through journaling really helped me. And also walking. I love to just process things through walking and getting out in nature and walking the dog. And so I was pondering things walking as well.
Mm. Oh, good.
Yeah.
I will also add to that, I think that, you know, watching with you setting intentions over the past 5 or 6 years, however long I've been seeing you, knowing you, setting intentions, is that, and also mine over the past few years, that they've been gentler ones. So think, if it's the first time you've ever really set an intention for the year, choose one that feels enjoyable, less challenging. Choose one that feels nourishing. It's like, oh yeah, I'd love a year that was all about feeling calm, or all about fun.
Yeah.
Choose that. Yeah. Like, then you're experimenting, you're seeing how this works, setting an intention, how some of it is conscious, therefore I'm going to do X, Y, and Z to bring more fun into my life. Mm-hmm. Also seeing how it just kind of, it appears, be open to being surprised at how it manifests in your life.
Totally.
Look out for opportunities to have fun and say, yes, I will, because I want more fun. So you know what? Normally I wouldn't say yes to that, but this year I will.
Yeah.
I think then... You know, so if it's the first time you've ever thought about setting an intention, doing things that are about feeling more calm or having fun could be a really good way of starting it. The other thing to add as well is to say that we've both got a coach to start the year with. So part of, once I was like, right, stepping into my power, I know this one has so many layers of resistance and so much mindset stuff that I need to work through. And it's to the degree to which I don't think I can do this one on my own. So some things I'm like, yeah, I've got the tools, I'm equipped, I can do it. But with this stuff, I know there's a lot of blind spots where I can't see stuff. So that's where I always go, right, I need some extra help, some outside help with a professional who knows how to do this kind of thing. And so if any of you have heard, you may well have heard our podcast with Dr. Talene, who is amazing when it comes to mindset, mastery. So we're both having coaching with her specifically to help us around this, to help clear the blocks and help us step into this kind of the mindset of stepping into our power and stepping into the CEO and clearing the blocks that get in the way. And she found it hilarious how the moment I had set my intention of stepping into my power, I face-palmed into the sea, got trapped in my own coat. She was like, so all the things, the fears, if I were fully in my power and, you know, our business were flying to that level, I would feel trapped. I would feel like, you know, I could, you know, fall and make a fool of myself. So like, you were manifesting those things instantly. So, you know, so these are things we need to be looking at and clearing those blocks. So I think it's also sometimes, getting help. So 1 year where I set an intention, I wanted to thrive, design a life in which I could thrive. I also got a coach at the start of the year that helped me. Do you remember that helped me with well-being and kind of performance, but really setting up, really putting in self-care into my life and helping me with that, because I was like, I'm not a natural at it, therefore I need help. So I think that's the other thing as well, seeing what support, what guidance, what lessons you can learn. So I'm devouring all the Marie Kondo Netflix.
Oh, I need to watch this.
And I've got the book and I'm applying all of that. So it's also, you should always have the answers. You don't, you know, it's not always up to you to know how to do this.
Yeah, it's such a key point, is it? Like, we're not on our own. In, you know, yes, we might have, some of us might have a challenging intention for the year that scares us a little bit in a good way, but you don't have to do it on your own. You know, there is so much support, whether it's just like getting the support of a friend who you check in with, who's your accountability partner, or literally getting a coach or someone that can support you, a professional, or just reading a book and helping you to, you know, get into the mindset of, I don't know what to say, or it could just be simply reading a book or watching a documentary you know, that's on that topic, just getting yourself kind of immersed into that. and not expecting yourself, like you say, to know all the answers. It's okay.
And I think it is important to, you can look at that first quarter, whether you're listening to this at the start of the new year or whether you're listening to this in May and you've set to yourself, you know, this is my plan for the next 12 months, is that you spend the first quarter checking in on how you've got yourself set up, you know, with your self-care and your well-being, but also feeding up on inspiration.
Yes.
You know, because actually there's so much that you get just from that. Before you even begin taking action, feed up on inspiration. Go learning from people who have got to the place you want to get to. See the reality of it. Recognise that people that really know different to you.
Yeah.
And how did they do it?
Yeah.
But I think also the other thing is to remind people, because there were a few people that said, you know, I haven't, feeling that pressure of having to have my plan all sorted for the year. We don't have a plan all sorted for the year, for our professional or personal life. And in the Goodbye Hello Journal, all we're saying is choose an intention or a focus for your year, and then three things you're committing to doing in the next 3 months. That's the plan.
Such like, a relief.
That's it. And if you're going through a tough time at the moment, don't add pressure on by making them challenging things. Make them things that feel easy and feel nourishing. Because actually, that is the most important thing. And I think we're so hardwired to think of success and achievement being outside achievements.
Yeah.
That actually, if you spent a year really looking after, learning to nourish yourself, and at the end of the year, you felt so much more nourished than you did at the start of the year, that would be such an incredible achievement that actually most people don't give time for. So I think it's also recognising, you know, where you're thinking that you should be making these big, impressive changes on the outside. Actually, maybe this is a year where you're focusing on, you know, the self-care and cultivating things on the inside. So, yeah, if you're thinking that you're supposed to have some, you're actioning from day one, you're not. So stop expecting yourself to have one.
There's something that you mentioned earlier about this this decision anxiety, and there's a concept called the choice paradox, and there's a great TED talk by Barry Schwartz. He's written a book on it as well, so go check that out if this is really resonating with you. The choice paradox: I've got too much choice, too much freedom, too much time. Check that out, because that's a really good one to help with that.
And is that about how in this day and age we have so much choice that could be the thing that actually paralyzes us, because we don't know which one to choose?
Yeah, so there's loads of studies that's been done on this. Barry, the guy I think it's his concept actually, the choice paradox, and he talks about this, how we think that we want more freedom, we want more choice, or that more choice would equate to more freedom, but actually the more choice we have, the more we become paralyzed and stuck, and then we don't make any choice, so we're not then benefiting from there being more, you know, more that we could choose from. So it's actually about simplifying.
Yeah, exactly. And I think when that is happening and you don't know which, because there's quite a few people that mentioned that, of, you know, not knowing which is the right thing to focus on, and not wanting to make the wrong choice.
Yes.
It's that fear of wrong choice, I think. And actually, someone wrote a post about this on Instagram and had listened to our last podcast on setting an intention and how that had really helped, because one of the things we mentioned was maybe 2019 could be a year of exploring and experimenting. So if you're not sure what the right path is, then my suggestion is you need to explore and experiment. It's a huge and vital part of any change process, and one that people quite often try to skip over and feel they should know what that career should be, or what that path should be, or what that change should be. If you don't, then it means you probably need to do some exploring and experimenting to figure it out. So why don't you dedicate, if not a whole year, then half a year or 3 months to exploring and experimenting. Because if the answer isn't there, then that suggests that's what you should be doing.
Yeah. I remember speaking to somebody over Christmas and she was saying, you know what, I really want 2019 to be my year of learning.
Yes, exactly.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, cool, like do this course, go and learn about that, and just kind of as you say, it's exploring and experimenting. It just really takes the pressure off, doesn't it?
Yeah, because why should you have the answer?
Yeah.
Maybe you haven't got enough information yet. You haven't tried enough things out. You don't know what's available. You don't know what's out there. You haven't, you know, given yourself enough experiences to be able to make a choice yet.
Yeah.
So that's fine. But I think, so therefore giving yourself permission to not yet have the answer mm-hmm. and to explore and experiment and try things out is brilliant. There are a couple of people who talked about how they started the new year with really having, you know, life not going the way that they would hope. Mm-hmm. So some people, one lady said, I want to be all living my best life, but I'm ill and have major surgeries this year. I feel trapped by my body. Mm. First thing I would say is go and listen to the podcast by Ruth Ridgway that we did. What was it called? Creating Your Plan B Life, I think it was. And that's really inspiring about how to design a life you love when life hasn't gone in the direction you had hoped and you're feeling that sense of being trapped. But also people who have gone through a big breakup or a big loss, who are in a state of grief, or have lost, you know, have been made redundant. We've had people saying that as well. So, you know, suddenly the rug is pulled from under you. Either you've lost a person, you've lost a position in your life that has had a huge impact. Then I think it's really important. Yeah, you might have dreams and ambitions, but maybe right now is not the time to be attending to them. It's definitely a time to be looking after yourself because you're in a vulnerable, fragile state. Mm. So you need to be thinking about back to the basics again. Mm. So the self-care and the self-love. So just like you've decided that's going to be your first quarter, you can still have those dreams and ambitions, but maybe this first quarter, this first half of the year is actually about looking after you and nourishing you and nurturing you and getting yourself looked after and attending to that. Mm. And then when you feel ready, then you'll be able to, you know, get onto making dreams happen. But I'd also say sometimes it can be when the worst things are happening that you learn some really valuable, beautiful lessons in life. Maybe that's the year 2019, despite the surgeries that going on, being ill, that actually you really learn to love yourself even more. Or maybe that's the year where you realise you really nurture your relationships and your friendships because you're getting on the phone to people, you start writing letters to people. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think that even though there can be areas of your life which aren't going the way that you had hoped or had planned, and that's causing you distress and upset, you can also look at the areas of your life that you do have control of, and look at, right, okay, how can I attend to that area? Mm. And really, it's back to the garden analogy, isn't it?
Yes.
Back to the good old garden analogy. One part of the garden is just full of rubble and perhaps you can't, you know, be clearing that for now. So attend to the parts that you can. Mm. And I think also finding ways to be at peace with the areas of your life that aren't the way you wish they would be. And there was another comment actually from someone else who said about feeling that they were feeling like I'm behind everyone else my age without a relationship. Did I mention that one already? Mm-hmm. I might have, yeah, yeah. Said that one. But again, it's that feeling of that you can be looking at an area of your life that you want to change. It's not where you want it to be. And then you give yourself a hard time.
Yeah.
And then you make it mean that you're not good enough or that you're missing out. Mm. And if you focus on the lacking rather than... And that's always such an interesting one, particularly with stuff like relationships or having a career that you love, that you find fulfilling. Well, what can you do now to bring into your life that fulfillment that that future career will give you? What can you do in your life now to bring that love into your life that one day you would like a relationship to also bring into your life? Yeah. And seeing what you actually can do now. Or even like actually, you know, to the lady who's having the surgery. I know who you are, but I don't want to say your name in case you don't want me saying your name. But I think, you know, feeling trapped in your body, maybe there's a way of looking at the elements of your body that are still healthy and celebrating them and kind of, you know, exploring those parts of you and sensuality and you know, bringing love back for your body in the state that it's in right now and giving it that love. There's always opportunity to transform the way you look at something as well. And also, it's if you're having a tough time at the start of the year, it is really hard, you know, and to make sure that you're getting the support and the love from yourself that you need. Should we talk about some practical tips? I know we've talked about it weaving through, but so should we?
Yeah, well, quite a few people on Instagram were talking about an overwhelm in terms of workload.
Yes.
And
particularly the freelancers.
Yes.
This is a big shout out to the freelancers, because January is the worst time of year for freelancers usually, because you spent all your Christmas money. And January is, and December and January are often slow months for most freelancers. So it's, and you're paying your tax bill.
Yeah, and the uncertainty for the rest of the year, because maybe work hasn't come in yet.
Yeah, so you can be seeing, you know, a big year ahead, an open canvas, but that's also like, but where's the money going to come from that's going to pay my bills? So yeah. I think it is a time for anxiety for freelancers.
Yeah.
Again, focus back, look at yourself, you know, self-care, your well-being. Mm. If you're catastrophizing and you're in your head being like, but then what, but then what, but then what? Speak to someone who's good at giving you good, grounded, practical problem-solving help, who helps you to see it in a kind of realistic way and help you kind of look at, well, okay, but if that does happen, you could do this, or have you thought about that? I think it's if you lie in bed at night worrying about it and not sharing your fears with someone else, you can get into catastrophizing and blowing things out of, like, really going down like the worst possible scenario route.
Yeah.
If you speak to someone who you know is good with practical advice, it can just help to calm you down. It's like, you know, like I was saying to myself and you and on stories on Instagram last week, just at the beginning of the journey, you've got a whole 12 months to learn and grow about whatever your intention is, whatever your focus is. Just reminding us of that just completely helped calm me down. I was my own voice of reason in that moment, but I think it can really help to talk it through with people.
Yeah, there's a great TED talk as well that would really help with this. It's called Fear Settings by Tim Ferriss, who's the author of The 4-Hour Workweek, and he has an amazing story that he shares of how he manages his fears and how he actually shares a tool that he uses himself, and super practical, and you can literally copy it straight from the TED talk and use that on yourself as well. It's very much like, you know, what if that happened? Okay, well, what could I do to prevent that from happening? And if the worst did happen, how could I repair that? And it's just super practical, and really helps if that is really resonating with you, if you are, you know, catastrophizing and feeling very anxious about the future. Really practical tools, so do check that out. What was really interesting as well is that this idea of there being so much to do and not enough time to do it, there now is a term called time famine that psychologists have used to describe this new trend. Well, it's not probably very new, but that now it's got a name because it's so popular, I think, you know, in our fast-paced environments, and a lot of us working the creative industries as well, and deadlines, and fast paced, and now, what's next, and you know, it can be very common to feel like, you know, there's this never ending to-do list, and there's not enough, literally not enough time for me to do everything. And when we're feeling in that state of overwhelm, we're obviously not feeling our most resourceful. Usually we're not breathing properly and not looking after ourselves, and so so what we were saying before about well-being and self-care, like, that is the way to be more productive, to be more resourceful.
Yeah.
So it will help you to tick those things off your to-do list. But sometimes it's also about saying no. You might actually not have the capacity. There's only, you know, an 8-hour day in a working day, 8 hours in a working day. And so sometimes you have to accept that you might disappoint people by saying no to something that they'd like you to do, and you just don't have the capacity to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And making that's boundaries. It's a big part of looking after yourself, making sure that you book in, use your calendar as your canvas, book in time. If you tend to be going out every evening, make sure you book in at least one evening a week in advance that does not get booked up. And that's an evening where you go home, you relax. You don't just go home to do your laundry that you need to catch up on. You actually make it an evening for relaxing.
Yeah.
And if people say, oh, do you want to go out that night? Say, it's already booked. Sorry, I'm not free that night.
Yeah.
And, you know, really start, using, looking at your calendar to see what you are putting on your plate and seeing where you can simplify.
Yeah.
So important. We try to pack way more into our lives than usually we can actually handle.
Yeah.
So what do you need to go, okay, you know what? This quarter, this month, I can focus on these things, but the rest is actually going to have to wait till next month, if it can't, or next quarter, or even next year.
Yeah.
If it can't wait till then, and you do have to do it, where can you get outside help? Where can you get out? You know, where can you outsource things? Where can you bring people in to support you? And that takes time as well. My God, that's taken me years. But I think also the other thing to look at, whether it's about time scarcity or whatever it is that's going on, where you're feeling that sense of pressure and you can't do it. Really have a look at what your shitty committee is saying. Look at your mindset, look at your narrative.
Yeah.
So if you've never heard us talk about your shitty committee before, that is the inner critical negative voice that's always telling you, that's always there telling you you can't do things, why you can't do things, giving you a hard time. And what we teach is that you can turn the volume down and turn the volume up on that loving voice that you also have in you, but you usually use for your friends. But ask yourself, what is my shitty committee saying about me and this intention, this focus for my year, making this change happen? Or what's my shitty committee saying about time? You know, what am I saying about time? What are my narratives, my beliefs around time? This is something that I have transformed so much over the past few years. And I really notice the difference now when there's loads of things for us to do. I'm always just like, oh yeah, but actually in reality, I could probably like do that quite quickly. That does also come with, you know, skill and over time getting faster at things. But I think the belief that actually if you put your perfectionism to one side, that you can actually get things done a lot faster than you think. But it's really, it's noticing your narratives around it and challenging those narratives. And, you know, so just asking yourself, what's my shitty committee saying about that? And then going, okay, find examples to the contrary, they're also true, because the whole point is we look for examples where what our shitty committee is saying, what our narrative, our limiting narrative about time or making that dream happen, where we can confirm that with evidence that proves it right. So find evidence that proves the opposite right, you then start to dismantle it. So I think as well, particularly when you're feeling overwhelmed and pressure, having a look at, okay, what's the negative stuff I'm saying about this? What's the shitty committee saying? And then I would always say, write yourself a love letter, or write a letter to you from your wise older self. It always works a treat with me. So write a letter to yourself with words of encouragement and love that help you. Perhaps give some advice about what to do right now. And invariably you'll come up with things of like, you just need to actually, before you set off on this, can start getting some proper night's sleep. Like focus on that first, or, you know, cut yourself some slack. You don't have to have it all figured out right now. Or perhaps this year, actually what you need to be focusing on is self-care or nourishment or whatever it might be. And I think, just taking a step back before we all charge in. And also, if you are like us currently in winter in January, then you're probably still wanting to hibernate. So we went off first day back at work, powering through, getting into our workspace. And then it's just like, the next day I came over to Vicky's. I was just like, can we just do this in jumpers and wrapped in a duvet? I'm not ready for the real world of work and like power suits, getting trapped in my own coat. So I think as well, it's recognising what energy you have at the moment, you know, based on the seasons. And therefore, as well as the, you know, charging forward and the energy for that, I need to also be creating a lot of time for snuggling. Like having an early night. Still allowing myself to hibernate, because that's what my body wants to do. It's listening to your body. I hope that reassures people listening. And has helped to calm you down and to not feel like everything has to be done now. I think if you do have a lot of things on your to-do list, then get open your calendar and look at, okay, dedicating some time to those different things and seeing what you can actually take off your list and where you can bring in help, so that you're not feeling so overwhelmed with everything that you need to do.
There's also some, you know, productivity tips that, you know, I'm sure we could all find as well, like productivity hacks. So something a friend was telling me about the other day is that when you're interrupted, so you might be on a roll, like doing something, working on a project, and someone interrupts you, apparently I think it takes 25 minutes to get back into what you were doing. So sometimes just sort of really just thinking practically about this, you know, there might be boundaries that you can then establish that will help you to focus, use the time that you do have really, really wisely and smartly. And, you know, it's like putting that kind of, whether it's a physical or metaphorical out of office on sometimes when you're working on something that will help you to then use that time really well. You know, the limited time that you do have, that you're really focused in that time.
Yeah, I think if you've got, particularly if you've got, you know, a project or a new business that you're having a go at starting up on the side of a full-time job and family commitments and social commitments and the other things you have to do in your life, that in itself can feel overwhelming because you've already got a full life and now you're trying to start this new thing. So my advice with that is exactly what you're saying, Vicky, but it's about creating space for it. So actually set dedicating time. So I've done that. I've got certain things that I'm sort of studying outside of work. And so I've had a conversation with my partner to say, on Wednesday nights, I would like this to be my night where I go and study. So I will not be looking after Sammy. So can you do that? And so that also not to be disturbed, not to, you know, so if he's booking stuff in, can he make sure that Wednesday night's the night that he's with Sammy so that I can be focused on that? And so sometimes it is about having like those conversations. Another one is if you work in an office and you've got a project like that, on your way home, go to a cafe for an hour, maybe a couple of times a week, so that that's your dedicated space. Turn your phone off, be focused. So with that focus time, rather than trying to squeeze it in and then another week goes by and you haven't found the time, you're never going to find time. Most of us can never time doesn't just miraculously, you know, appear. Oh, look at that. I've got a whole half day with nothing to do. And actually, people who do have that amount of time, they also find it difficult because then they've just got too much time and they don't, then they find they're filling it with other stuff that they don't really need to be doing, but then they can get into procrastinating. So even if you do have an abundance of time, also book in specific time in your week dedicated to that project, that study, that extra thing that you're now doing in your life, because you want to. You might think, oh, well, if I want to do it, I would find the time. It's not how it works. It is not how it works. So really using your calendar, which again we talk about in the Design a Life You Love in 2019 workshop, but using that to create space and make time for the things you want to do, whether it's around self-care or making a, you know, a dream happen, doing a project on the side, it's making time for it.
I found this to be really powerful in the beginnings of Project Love when I also had a marketing job, like really having that time on the way home, go to a cafe or before work. Sometimes I'll take myself out for breakfast and I'll have an hour of focused time. And then no matter what happens in the day, like I've given it that time. And then not feeling so stressed about trying to fit it in into pockets of time. You know, it's just dedicated to that. And on the weekends as well, you know, where can you find like an hour or two just to focus on whatever it is, if it's a project, you know, to focus on that.
So lots of tips and tools for you to use. We'd love to hear how you get on, what out of that you found particularly useful. And also if there's anything that you would like us to hear, you would like to hear us talk more about over the following months, whether it's about self-care, self-love, making things happen, do write to us at hello@loveprojectlove.com and let us know what topics you would like to hear us cover over the following months.
So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh God, like it's already midway through January or whenever you're listening to this and you're worrying that you've left it too late to set your 29 intention, it's not too late. We've actually got a few Goodbye Hello journals left that you can still buy over at the goodbyehellojournal.com. Some of the principles that we talked about today are part of that process of really getting clear about what you want your focus to be throughout the year. And then, as we said, three practical things that you can do in the first 3 months of the year, which really helps to take the pressure off that, take the pressure off you, and also to feel much more relaxed about that new year anxiety and overwhelm.
And also check out the workshop, our Design a Life You Love in 2019 workshop, which has now happened live. You can get the recording also over at thegoodbyehellojournal.com.
You would have heard us talk about the Shitty Committee earlier on in this podcast, and we really get into that in the workshop and really help to teach you a process that will that you can use throughout the year and beyond to help you to manage those fears, manage what your Shitty Committee is saying, and so that you can keep moving forward and keep moving closer to your intention.
Lovely.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.